Okay, good morning. We're continuing on page Ayin Vav, Os Tzadi Ches, number 98. We were in the middle of 98, and we got answering some questions at the end of the class. So the main idea of 98 was saying that a person, remember we're talking about speaking out all this understanding of God's divine supervision in the world, and he says we have to speak out all the opposite concepts first that would appear to be the opposite of God's divine supervision and suggest that perhaps I'm the one who makes the decisions, and then coming back and saying, yeah, even though I feel it that way, but I know the truth is the opposite, that only you, Hashem, you're the one who found my wife, you're the one who found where I should live. So on page Ayin Vav, we are about 7 lines from the bottom. And that's the way the person should go on and extend his words, elaborate. Whether it is in self-reflection, in thinking, for od prat, one detail after another detail. Yisponen lamashal, for example, you should be thinking about the following things. Al hakisei shalav hu yoshev, you think about the chair that you're sitting on right now. On the table that's next to you. Vishiyasu asmas mahalach akni, and you should go over the entire process of the purchase of these items. And you go through the part that it looks like you're the one who's making the decision. Shulholach libchor dugma, that he goes to choose a style, vitzevan, a color, etc., etc. Shal shulchan vikisos, of a table and a chair. Vimkain, and it would appear, pepashtus, on the simple level, bechitzonius, from an external level, it would appear, nirashani kavati ezer shulchan vikisos ekna. It would appear that I was the one who decided which table and which chairs to buy. Ulam yamshich v'yisponei, but a person thinks a little bit more and goes further. V'yachach yomar came b'piv k'diskel el, and then you go and articulate, as we've mentioned, shezu einenu hemes. This is not the truth. El shirak ato yisbara kavata b'meduyok eze shulchan v'eze kis os ekne. But you are the one, God, who specifically determined which table and which chairs I should buy. Vizos borurli, and this is all clear to me. Sha'av shabacharti es atseva v'hadugma. Even though I think, and I did appear to select the color and the style, but there's all kinds of other factors involved. Harei b'mifal yeshar bekisos, in the store or the factory, there are many chairs. U'madu adavka kisei zeh v'shulchan zeh bo'elai. So why did this specific chair and this specific table come to me? Ein ze ela miyotcha yisbarach. This only comes from your hand, Hashem. V'ata kavata zos b'mutuyok, and you're the one who specifically determined it to the precise final detail. Okay. Kach yisbarach aram al ha'aron sheliyado. That's how the person should reflect on the closet that's near him. Al ha'chulz, on your shirt. Al ha'nalayim, on your shoes, etc., etc. Od prat v'od prat. Every single detail. You have to go through this process, and there's nothing too small, and the smaller the better, really, of how it, although it appears that I'm the one who chose it, it really is someone else, it's Hashem who chose it. Valkol prat yachzer came a machshav to b'fivan, and every detail you review it in your mind and with your mouth and to verbally say it, that what? Sherak HaKadosh Baruch Hu kava zos b'meduyok, that it was specifically Hashem who chose this specific item for you. You went to look for a tie. Hashem wanted you to have this tie. It was already designated that you should have this tie. And you just went through the motions of choosing this tie. In a couple pages, you're going to say how literally powerless you are in that endeavor. Right? And that's what I'm saying. Everything, it mamish, came from Hashem. And as you go further and further in this, so then a person, you know, goes with this attitude and looks at every object, every circumstance, everything that surrounds you. And on every detail reflects And by doing that, the benefit is umashrish ba'atzma es yisod ha'samuna. And you cultivate and implant within yourself the foundations of belief. Esamuna pshuta, the simple belief. Shiraka kodesh baruch hu koveh kol prat uprat, that only Hashem determines every single detail. Tchil al yedei hisbonenus b'mocho, first it will be through reflection of the mind, ulachar mikam b'piv, and then it will be verbalized. Kimuvur lo, as we've explained, heim b'losha nister, whether it's in the indirect expression of using the word Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who picked my shirt, v'heim b'losha nochach, or whether it's in the direct expression of Ato Yisborach, you Hashem are the one, you are the one who picked my shirt. L'misha kashav relikach, depending on the level of jet, we said, say, speaking the first person, second person rather, is a more challenging thing to say, you Hashem did this for me. You have to have a greater awareness than to just say that Hashem is the one who did this. So, okay, you know, this is a very, very hard concept for people we're seeing. This is a difficult concept for people to get over. But it comes out in terms of Hashkacha Pratis, in terms of God's divine intervention. There's no difference between a person who spends, as we said, there's no difference between a person who spends 6 months looking for that ideal chair, who's got tons of money and is looking for that ideal chair, is going from store to store to store, or the person who has very little money, he goes into the cheapest store and picks the first one out and spends 3 minutes picking the chair. In terms of Hashkacha Pratis, in terms of divine intervention, there's no difference. Because it's the same God who decided this, the same God who decided that. Right? The only difference is somebody spent 6 months on it, another person spent 5 months on it. That's the difference. Now, again, I've got to emphasize again that if you're going to spend 6 months on it, you're not doing an Avera. Okay, you're not doing an Avera by doing these things, but you become immersed in that kind of lifestyle. What? Well, that's what we're getting to. You become immersed in that lifestyle, and your whole world becomes very small and petty. In other words, the things, how can you tell the worth of a person, says King Solomon? Listen to what he gets excited about. So King Solomon says, you want to know what gold is worth, you can smelt it down, and you can see how pure the gold is. You can see how pure the silver is. How do you know how pure a person is? Just listen to what they talk about and what they spend a lot of time on. Right? So if they spend 6 months looking for a chair, then they've told you what's important to them. Right? So in other words, what happens is the person becomes a petty person. Becomes a petty person. If that's the most important thing in your life, it's nebuch. But more important, when you become that kind of person, then from that kind of person is more susceptible to do averos. Because the person who has to, you know, spend so much time on the fine details beyond what's necessary, then they start looking at other people's details. And that's where fertile territory for lashon hara and things like that. Because if that's the thing that takes your whole life up, then you're into that kind of a zone. Okay? Not to say, you know, that, and he's going to elaborate as we go every couple pages. He takes it another layer and says, what should your tefillah be? You should even like be davening before you buy your shirt. And these kinds of things. To use that opportunity as an opportunity to feel Hashem being very much involved in your life. And there's so many things going on that if you really think about it, you realize that Hashem is the one who determines this. And there's all kinds of reasons why this tie had to be picked. One of the reasons could be
Tommy Hilfiger.
To give Tommy Hilfiger business. You know? Whatever, Hashem has designated how much profit he is to make this year. And only so many people have to buy these ties this year. Or it could be a different, or whoever was the retailer who sold that tie. And why, you know, decides going to that store as opposed to that store. Because Hashem said that guy's got to make X amount of business this year. Right? And you know this to be true in so many ways. As, you know, especially with women, they'll buy something and, you know, they walk in the store and like, why is that thing the one that they like? I thought it was amazing. They'll show it to their friends, and their friends might be saying, I don't know what she was thinking of when she bought that thing. You know? So what is that? There's no failure in the woman. This idea of taste. There's no logic to taste. Can you tell me the logic? Can you tell me, I really thought deep and hard, and I came to the real important conclusion that chocolate fudge is my favorite ice cream. It's mamish. That was mamish my choice. You know, it's not. It's your taste buds making that choice. It's, you know, why today, you know, you go to Baskin Robbins, 30 million flavors. You pick that flavor or that flavor. There's real, a lot of free will choice there. Really, there's a lot of real mental, intellectual decisions between good and bad and right and wrong and this and that. And that's why I talk Rocky Road, you know. It's because that's what you're in the mood for. That mood, Hashem is making. Hashem made that mood that you want the Rocky Road today. And, you know, for whatever reason, that Rocky Road, Hashem was interested in you having Rocky Road today. Could be millions of reasons. Another way to thank Hashem for the wonderful taste that exists in this world. It could be a million reasons why he wanted you to take that Rocky Road. And you're saying, why does God bother with those things? He's very involved in every little detail. It's a very complex world out there. There's so many things you don't even understand that are going on, that Hashem is making sure that everything goes the way it's meant to go. So why you picked that outfit to wear, to buy for the wedding, you know, that was God's choice. That was God's choice. It was totally God's choice that you will wear that one. You know, there are great tzaddikim, holy, holy people, who, you know, there's a couple of talks about this, that, you know, that everything that you're going to ever own is destined to be yours, not just the house. Everything that, and great tzaddikim could see the holy energies pulsating from objects, and they could tell if something was stolen or not. Or they could say if something is in the wrong place and shouldn't be there and supposed to be somewhere else. And because the item that's supposed to be yours spiritually gives off a spiritual aura that says this belongs to Moshe. This is Moshe's tape recorder. It's destined from time immemorial that this tape recorder should be Moshe's. And if for some reason it's not there, then there's a problem. Okay, and they understand. They can understand when a person, when a great tzaddik went to someone's home to eat, was visiting from out of town, and goes to to another tzaddik's home. And the food's on, and mamish, they make sure it's klat kosher, everything. The kasher is unbelievable standards. The tzaddik gets in front of the plate. He can't eat. So what's the matter? So he says, is it possible you didn't toivel these dishes? He says, well, I didn't toivel these dishes. Are these your dishes? Says, as a matter of fact, Rebbe, they're not my dishes. Whose are they? The neighbor next door. I didn't have the nicest dishes. I wanted to borrow from the nicest dishes around. Go and ask the neighbor if he toiveled the dishes. And they find out the dishes weren't toiveled. So the tzaddik knew that those dishes didn't belong to this guy. Because if they belonged to this guy, then Hashem would have designated as such. And your tzaddik could sense the vibes coming out of that set of dishes that it belongs to this guy. Because it was destined to go to this guy. He says, this can't be this guy's dishes. It's not this guy's dishes. And then he could sense other wrong vibes. So you can understand that Hashem has designated exactly what it is you have to buy. And why is it that outfit that you buy that's so you, right, a few weeks later it falls out of favor and you don't wear it anymore? Now, why is that such? Is that tremendous mental ingenuity going on, making these incredible decisions here? Later on, two pages are going to say, you know what your act is like? It's like the act of a monkey. It's like a monkey picking it. That's how much true intellect is used in making these decisions in your life. You know, and that in so many ways, you know, that's the idea of what do you call impulsive buying to be like everybody else, all these other things that it's going to be yours no matter what. It's going to be yours no matter what. Now again, the fact that you think you made the choice, so you give so much credibility to your choosing tastes and things like that, that's narishkeit for you to think that that's your choice. Those are the ideas God puts in your mind. Now again, you have the Yerushamayim choices are your choices. The God-fearing choices are your choices. And to say, you know what? My time is much too important to spend so much time looking for an outfit. I'm just going to go to the store, and if it fits, you know, and it doesn't look the most ugliest thing in the world, I'll buy it. Finished. That's all. That's all there is to it. because I got much more. Now that's a Yerushalayim decision. You say we're getting ready for a wedding. You know, it's I don't want to spend any time going to clothing stores. It's the biggest waste of time, especially for a man. You know, so I go into Moore's. I say, just show me the black suits, and if it's a mala I like, and there's enough money in the bank account, I'll buy three of them. So why should I come back in 6 months? If it's the right style, the right thing, I got enough money in the account, I'll buy three of them. If it's a nice pair of shoes, you know, I hate going for shoes. I hate it. Because my foot is not an easy one, you know, high end stuff, set that, whatever, what they call it. So it takes a while till I find a shoe that I like. If I find a shoe that I like, I'll buy three of them. I just buy three of them. Because when I want to have to come back and in another year to go through this whole process looking for another shoe, and I got better things with my time than trying to, you know, because I got better things like learning Torah or doing other things, helping people. That's my Yerushalayim decision. And then God says, okay, so he's good. So I decided to buy three. That's my decision. That's not God's decision. I said, I want to be focused on the things that are more important in life. And not that, you know, going shopping is not very chas for shalom, but the less time spent on it, the less time doing monkey acts. And the more time I'd rather do human acts of real decision making. And spending more time in doing things that get me closer to you. I mean, not saying buying shoes, you can get close to Hashem if you're thinking this way. But be much closer when you're learning Torah. So those are the kind of things where you're making that conscious decision how much time you're going to spend, how much money you're going to spend, etc., to a great extent. And then you just, okay, so now, you know, you daven to Hashem, it's okay, you know. That doesn't mean to say, you know, for example, if a housewife, she wants to set up her home, you know, of course, you know, the home should look nice, but done quickly. And, you know, you don't have to search halfway around the world to make sure that the kitchen taps match the other fixtures that are in the kitchen. You know, otherwise it'll look crazy. Who says it's going to look crazy? Who made these silly rules? Who made these rules that if, you know, you've got this kind of thing here and with clashing and smashing and all the other... Who was the Talmud Chacham? Who is the God-fearing person who made this rule that you're running after?
IKEA.
You know? As long as you have something that's warm, that covers you up, that's functional, that works. So what's your problem? If you're worried what people have to say and what they think, then you're not living with Hashem. Because if you live with Hashem, and we're not talking about hurting people's feelings. Of course, Hashem doesn't want you to hurt people's feelings. You know, I don't care what they say. I'm going to say what I want, and if I hurt their feelings, I hurt their feelings. No, that you're not allowed to, because Hashem doesn't want you to hurt people's feelings. But what are they going to say? I bought the cheapest thing. They're going to think, what do I care what they think? I know that I care what Hashem thinks. Because I walk with Hashem all the time. And Hashem doesn't want me to spend all my life making sure that the kitchen taps, the sink taps are the best taps in the world. And I went to 7 different stores until I found the right one. Yeah. Not that it's an aver if you do it. But it just tells God, this is what interests you more than other things. You know, and that's what we're trying to understand, or to realize that there's so many things in your life that it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And to the extent that you understand it doesn't matter, that cultivates that closeness that you have with Hashem. Because when you go and pick the shirt, you're bringing Hashem into the clothing store. And before you walk into the store, you say, Hashem, I have to buy a shirt. And you know, I'd rather be doing mitzvahs now. But I have to do this. You created me. I have to have clothes. It's a mitzvah to wear clothes. And I'm doing this. But, you know, what style and what print and what this? Hashem, help me just to get through this store quickly and to acknowledge that you're the one who chose this. Now, when you're doing that, you are taking that mundane act. And you are elevating that mundane act as you're directing the source of that mundane act to Hashem. But recognizing that you have nothing to do with the decision. Right? But you made an unbelievable decision before you walked into that store. You used your Yerushalayim decision to bring Hashem into the store. That is your free will choice. That's where you should be spending your time. I'm at the door. I parked in front of the store. You say your little tefillah. Yeah, Hashem, the faster I go out of this, the better. Not because I'm an impatient person, because I know that your rutzins, I shouldn't be doing monkey acts that long. So let me try to get through this. I shouldn't be nichshol, stumble any averus. I shouldn't say anything I shouldn't say, you know, and just, you know, pick out as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible, and that's all. And I recognize that you're, for some reason, it's by shirt. I have to buy this specific shirt as opposed to that shirt. Even if it's the same model, same make, it's exactly the same kind of shirt, but it was that shirt and not that. There's a reason why you wanted me to buy that shirt. And that's good. And you can worry about it, Hashem. I need not worry about these things. And I don't have to go looking around for an hour and a half. Is it going to be this shirt, this suit, that suit? You know, I'll try it on as long as I don't look like a sugarner. You know, sometimes you can, you know, the thing's got a rip in the back. Yeah, you got to make sure. Talmud Chacham's not allowed to go with a coat that's ugly. That's dirty. Can't do that. So you have to make sure it's clean, that it's presentable, because you have to dress presentably. But this style, that style, this one. No, let's go to another store, the third store, fourth store, fifth store. Unless it doesn't fit. You go in and they don't have anything that fits. Or it's way too expensive and you don't have the money for that. That's another story. That becomes a Yerushalayim question. But otherwise, but when you do that, number one, you will allocate much more time for the more important things in life. That's great. And number two is even these little things in life, you have kept the focus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. And as we see, that's the most important thing you can do in your life. So that's what he's saying over here in terms of these activities. Yes, Shelley's been looking at all kinds of sources. He's going to pelt me with an unbelievable question. Go ahead.
I don't want to monopolize.
If anybody minded, I would tell by their expressions, but no one's expressed.
One quote from Rabbi Riskin was in this week's 60 Days Readings.
So do I have to answer that, or it's just...
No, I'll just say the quote. I suspect the rabbi's going to say, yeah, but that's Yerushalayim decisions, and that's what he's talking about. But he doesn't exactly specify Yerushalayim versus any other decision. He says, this world is based upon freedom of choice, the free will of individuals, partners and not puppets, to choose a blessing or the curse, to perfect the world or to destroy the world. I realize the last bit, what he said, is Yerushalayim, but nevertheless, he's saying we're not puppets and we have freedom of choice. And he doesn't say
that's right. You know, it's not fair to take one sentence out of a person's article without understanding his meaning, A. And B, I am sure what he means to say without question is, yes, and the major choices in our lives we're responsible for. And he's certainly talking about the Yerushalayim choices. You are not a puppet, Shelley.
But that's what the rabbi
is. No, you're not.
I go into Moore's, it's already destined.
Wait a minute. Before you walked into the store, you're not a puppet. Before you walked into the store, you, the intellectual, not the puppet, is supposed to have the intellectual intelligence to make the decision, is what I'm doing now that important or not? Who are the real puppets of this world, Shelley? The ones who are worried about what the styles are. Those are the puppets. And they think they're making, and they're spending, they're wasting their time being puppets. The intelligent person is the one who says, you know what? God wants me to make really important choices in this world and not to waste my time on the narishkeit of this world. And the things that he's already taken care of, why waste my time on those? And I have a free will choice. My choice is to understand what is it that I'm doing at every moment of my life. And God requires me to make that free will choice. And every moment, to free willingly choose to understand what's going on at this point in time. And two people who walk in the store, and one guy says, I choose not to think at all. And I think, you know what? That it's the most important thing is to pick out the best shirt and to spend hours on that. And the person has made a choice. The life is filled with choices. I can choose to spend my whole life shopping for shirts, or I can choose my life to choose more important things. And that's the most important choice you're going to make in your life, is how to analyze what you're doing. And that's a choice. And to realize there are certain things you're doing, it's up to God. But those aren't the important things in life. You don't want at your eulogy, he was a man of many choices. He was a man of choice, and he chose ice cream well, and he chose this, and he chose shirts well. He chose those outfits. You know, they're not gonna say that for anybody's Leviathan, because everybody knows it's not important. So why does God make you do these things? Because you have to live in this world. So when you walk in, and before you walk into the store, unless it's going to take you 20 minutes in that store, and that's the minimum to get out of that store until you get the suit put on and tried and measured and this and that, 20 minutes. You walk in and say, you know one thing, Hashem, I recognize it's you. And everything I'm going to do in this store is recognizing it's you. You made the biggest free will choice of the day, possibly. Living with Hashem is a very difficult choice to make. And to be able to walk into the store and say, I know it's you and it's not me, you've exercised your choice. And you got to be smart enough to know that in so many ways, there's so much that's beyond our control, but that doesn't make you a puppet. You know, your breathing is not in your control. Does that make you a puppet? The fact that you're alive is beyond your control. Does that make you a puppet?
Those are choices.
No, there are choices.
You can choose it. Yeah.
I can choose to stop breathing. But guess what? It doesn't matter. And what you think I like chocolate or vanilla, you think was your choice? You think it was your choice? That's all you're capable of doing? Your limit, you're choosing things that God chose already? And don't worry, won't worry. He's going to start getting into Parnassa soon. Then you're going to really flip out. He's going to say, you know, you think you made your Parnassa? When the Gemara says all the money you're going to make was the side of Rosh Hashanah. So, you know, I hear you. What's troubling you is I don't want to be a puppet. I want to feel like I'm in control of my life. Isn't that what's bothering you?
I think what this is the mind. It's really scary. We accept, and I accept this whole thing, but I think what's bothering Shelley is that we've already come to the point where most of us accept that the external things, the traffic jam, all those things are beyond our control in Hashem's hands. But the thought of Hashem controlling out what we thought was our mind is a little bit scary. I think that's what's happening.
It's scary, but it's very logical thing, because Hashem only wants you, when the Torah says you have free will choice at the end of Sefer Dvarim, how do you know you have free will choice? How do you know you have it? Because the Torah says so. Torah says, ubacharta, and you shall choose. Now, when does the Torah use that expression? It says, I have placed before you today good and bad, life and death. Choose good, choose life. Now, the only choices of good and bad are things that are inherently good and bad. Chalk and vanilla are not good and bad. It's not good and bad. It's nothing. It's a neutral. That's not a choice. There's no choices going on there. Right? The real choices are, you're going to sit and learn Torah for an hour, or you're going to spend an extra hour shopping. That's your choice. You're making a choice. You got an hour and a half tonight. I can even say, I'm not going to open up a saver till I've bought the shirt of my dream. And I'll go to every store necessary till I get that perfect shirt. Or you say, I choose that, you know what, there's no more than 20 minutes for this shirt because I know it's just a monkey act anyway. So I'm just going to quickly get in and out of the store, just buy it, and on with that.
So you change the
nekuda
of the era?
Yeah.
You have free choice. Okay, that's clearly a Yerushalayim decision.
That's right.
Once you're in the store and you're going to give yourself 15 minutes to buy the shirt and decide to buy the blue one versus the red one,
right,
whatever it is,
right,
or white one, you've made that choice.
It's the same choice. That choice is no different than Morris the cat deciding tender vittles versus that. It's no different of a choice.
I don't know, because Morris doesn't say this one is $22.99 and
this one's $24.99. It doesn't matter. These are all extemporaneous. You know, why one day you worry about the cost and next day you don't worry about the cost? Don't you ever have certain people, one day cost is a factor, next day cost is not a factor. Yeah, I see people, you know, one day your wife will come and say, you know, I got it because it was on sale. And the next day she spends 10 times more. Says, you know, it was really nice. You know, so there's no rhyme or reason for these things. You know, these things pop into your mind. That's, you got to accept these things are totally not important. And we're not engaging the depths of the person that you are involved. And Hashem, Chazal have said that it's bashert, what you're going to buy has been determined already. So once you understand that, you know, you bought it today, you don't like it tomorrow. What's going on? You think that's your mind is so, that's the real choices involved over here? There's not really deep thinking going on over here. You know, you might be expending all kinds of deep thinking, you know, but it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. So you want to waste more time, you waste more time. That's what he's saying. But the real choice is, you go to the store, you go like this, say, Hashem, if nobody's around, you know, Hashem, which shirt do you like? That's what you're supposed to be saying. Hashem, which shirt am I bashir to buy?
10 white shirts.
Am I bashir to buy this shirt? Hashem, what are you going to pop into my mind? You make the decision. That's all. Then what you've gained is that you've got Hashem in your hands. And there's a big difference when you're in that. When you're walking into the store like that, I'm going to tell you what the difference is. When you walk into the store like that and you brought Hashem into the store, and let's say one of the sales clerks is not dressed as modest as you would have liked, you're not going to be looking at her because you got Hashem in the store next to you. That's the critical point. I only went into this store, Hashem, because to help you make the choice. I'm not helping you make the choice. I'm the vehicle through whom you make the choice. And you bring him into the store, then you're going to act differently in the store. And if your kid is nudging you, you're not going to scream at him in the store because Hashem's in the store as well. So that's the point. And these are not your choices. These are not rational decisions. These are not rational decisions. A rational decision. You weigh the issue. What's the good involved here? What's the bad involved here? That's real choosing. You know, picking chocolate and vanilla, there's no choice. It's whatever the monkey was in the mood for. That's all. There is a certain animalistic side to ourselves that is always there. So what was the monkey, what was the rational monkey in the mood for today? A striped shirt or a plain shirt? When are you going to pick out your shirt in the morning? One shirt is destined for you to wear more than another shirt. Right? So what's the monkey in the mood today? So don't give such credence to those activities. You know, doesn't mean to say you wasted your life doing that, because every minute you were a monkey to do what Hashem wants, you're still doing the ratzon of Hashem. And you were with Hashem. You see, that's the point. That takes the mundaneness out of the act. The more involved, let me think really hard. I'm going to spend a whole hour till I pick this thing. So you've lived an hour without Hashem. And that's an hour you wasted in your life. But when you brought Hashem into the store, now that's living with Hashem. And that's why we're here. That's what we're doing here. Okay, it's whatever. I can't explain it anymore. And you know, Mirza Shem should get it clear.
What are the dynamics that are going on in a person who doesn't understand this and who is spending the morning of the time, quote unquote, deciding? What's really, is that a fighting Hashem?
It's not fighting Hashem, it's ignoring Hashem.
You ignore Hashem and you're kind of extending.
You're spending lots of time on something that's not important. And you're focusing on petty things. You're reinforcing. You're pushing God out. So you're much less attached with God, number one. And B, you're much more attached to petty things. Like, you never should take your shirt too seriously. And there are people who take it very seriously. You know, you can imagine now, listen to the difference now. The first guy walks into the store and spent 5 minutes picking the shirt. The other one spent an hour and a half picking the shirt. They both come in now. They both are wearing the same shirt. They're both at the same dinner party. It's Friday night, and both of them spilled some wine on that brand new shirt. Who's going to be more upset about it? And especially if your kid is the one who spilled it on your shirt. Do you realize I spent an hour and a half picking out that shirt, you idiot, you? And you in one shot messed up all the work I did? And everyone says, Hashem, I'm not exaggerating. Unfortunately, I'm not exaggerating. You can see it at a Shabbos table sometimes, right? Right? Kid, you know. And the other one says, Hashem, you wanted it to get dirty. It's by shirt, I should buy another shirt. That's all. The guy selling your shirts needs more parnasa. That's all. He needs more parnasa. Why is it? Why is it always when you bring the suits back from the cleaners, they get dirty the first minute you bring it back from the cleaners? You know, you buy a brand new tie, right? What happens? It gets stained the first minute. So it's going to be a big difference in attitude depending on how seriously you take your ties. And you say, listen, Hashem, you want to give the tie dealer more parnasa? Okay, my pleasure. A war for the one time. Nebuch, I have to go back to the store again. But Hashem, I guess you want me to go back to the store again. That's why the guy bought two ties, you see, when he liked it. You see? And you don't get so worked up over the ties. You know, every day a different tie, every day a different thing. Just put a tie on, man. Okay. I don't know, maybe I'm not getting it. You know, I make the tie, I make it with the knot, and I leave it that way forever. You know, take it off, leaving the knot, that way forever. And I was castigated in my early days, you know, it's going to wreck the tie. I said, not if I don't ever undo it. So I'm trying, please, tell me, am I missing something here? This tie has been this way for I don't know how long. Is there anything wrong with it? Like, is the thing not still in its place? Like, does it? It's even a double Windsor, you know. And so now, like, imagine all the time people spend every day making their tie. Like, what are you doing? Like, I just can't get it. You know, and sometimes it takes a few minutes to make a tie till you get it right. You know, you got to get it exactly. Don't look like it doesn't come up like this and all like that. I mean, it would look unusual, so you have to make. So it takes the first to make it. If I'm lucky, I get it in one shot. Sometimes two. You know, measure exactly where the thing starts at this button or that button, and then you start doing it. But I say the time it takes you to make a proper tie. I'm making it once, man. I'm not going to spend it again, right? So do you want to spend your life doing monkey acts? Hey, you know, it's a year of Shemayim this year. I say, you know what? I can have more time. I can sleep another 2 minutes in the morning if I need to sleep and not have to make the tie. I don't get people have to realize these are all the monkey acts of life that God wants us to do them. They have to do them. But why not minimize them if you can? Right? So this takes a lot of avoda. You gotta do this a lot. You gotta keep doing this. Keep bringing him into every store. You know, especially, you know, the women who go to the store a lot, you know, you should take advantage of the opportunity to keep bringing Hashem into your store. It's every store you go to. And if you know, if you really realize you bring him, you're after him, you're going to say, you know what? I think I slept Hashem around enough today. And I think, you know, he's even getting kind of bored of me waiting for me to make an important decision the whole day long. You know, and that I think, you know, will help a person as well. Now, again, it's no aver to go into the store. I mean, chas v'shalom, it's not an aver to go into the store. Just bring Hashem into the store with you. That's all. And that's the point.
So what about for secular people? If a secular girl goes into a store and chooses a net in the shelf just so that Hashem chose that outfit?
Yes. Hashem chose that outfit for the secular person too. Here's the problem with the secular people, you know, they don't spend enough time in their lives making any decisions. They're not really making any decisions. The secular person, what are the things they think about? How to make a living, how well I look, you know, what else are they talking about? How do the Maple Leafs play? You know, how much beer should I buy for the beer party that we're having for the Super Bowl place? What is it that a goy talks about all day? Now, there are some who say, I want to help humanity. Okay. But you know, what's the majority of what they're dealing with? It's non-consequential things, all acts that monkeys could do, intelligent monkeys could do. All right? So now you see why they're all unhappy and depressed. Because they're not doing what they were designed to do, and that was to make choices. Remember, if a person doesn't do what he's meant to do, he's never going to be happy. You're never going to be happy. A human being was created to make choices, real choices. And if you're not never making real choices, how do you expect that? Why do people always say, you know, I'm so unfulfilled? I understand. The guy's the richest guy around. He can go into any store and he's spending time and time buying things and this and that. And, you know, the rich and the famous and this. They seem to, you know, they're spending all this time buying the things we could only dream of, and they're still all unhappy. Why are they unhappy? You know why? Because their neshamas know that they're only acting like monkeys. There's only so long you can act like a monkey and be happy that way. A human acting like a monkey cannot be happy for that long. And that's why they get into all these other mishigasim, because they're not doing the things that they're meant to do. They're not doing things Rabbi Riskin said they should be doing, making free will choices. They made one free will choice. I'm going to live a superficial life. Fine. Since that choice was made, they haven't made another important choice in their life. Could be okay, you know, a mall, you know, they're going to want to give some charity. You know, maybe. And then you got to know where they're giving the charity to. You know, give the charity to... For the pursuit of, freedom for gays and things like that, you know, whatever. Mishigasim. It's not much of a free will choice either. So those are the things that. So they live a life that God said, okay, you know, it's Bashir to buy this thing and that thing, and he's spending so much time doing it. That's the problem, and that's we'll just end just starting the next line in Sadi Tes, and that's the pshat, Sadi Tes. King David says in Hallel. Hemanti ki adaber. The simple meaning is I believed and therefore I spoke. But the holy writings say, Shemasai hemanti. When is it that I believe? Ki adaber, when I speak. That's what King David said. Kolomer meaning to say, Masai mushreshes amuna heitev pnima believe shalom. When is belief in Hashem really implanted deeply inside the heart of a person? When is it hamanti? Kasher adam b'mahalech shel ki adaber. When a person goes with the approach of ki adaber, as I speak. Because I talk about Hashem when I go into the store, and because I talk about Hashem with every mundane thing I do, that's why hamanti, that's why I really believe in Hashem. Now we'll discuss tomorrow why this is not brainwashing and propaganda, but this is the emes. We'll continue at this point tomorrow, Mr. Shem.